Ready, set, go!
This is the Checkpoint Radio Podcast. Tune into our weekly radio show. For more information, go to checkpointradio.com. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to the Checkpoint Podcast from Westwood One. Exclusive, uncensored, and extended conversations from the nationally syndicated crew of the Checkpoint Radio Show. My name's Nate Bender. I'm joined by the Checkpoint Radio crew, Robbie Landis.
What up?
Norris Howard.
In this bit.
And over in the Checkpoint News Desk, Joe Sloan.
Psyched to be here.
real quick, before we get into an iTunes review, because we got not one, not two, but we got three iTunes reviews.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to read one of them.
Aw.
But that's going to be in just a second. First, I wanted to mention a couple of things. We have been invited to go attend the opening of the Allied Esports Arena at the Luxor in Las Vegas.
Living the dream.
We're going to be out there on Thursday, March 22nd, and we're going to be doing a show from that event.
So lit.
So, be sure to put that on your calendars whenever the show airs in your city. That's going to be an episode not to miss. And, of course, we thank Allied Esports for asking us to come out there. And we are super excited to be going out there. We're going to be, I think, getting interviews with some of the participants out there. I mean, it's gonna be lit.
It's going to be awesome.
So, make sure that you join us. Again, that opening is happening on March 22nd out in Las Vegas at the Luxor, and Checkpoint Radio is going to be out there. Second thing that I wanted to mention before we get into iTunes reviews is that this show was the first one that we've done on our brand new mixing console. We are happy. We're happy to have the new board and hoping that everything sounds nice and even and
should sound great.
Not buttery. Not distorted.
More buttery. What Google actually uses that in their change logs for Android. They say, transitions and animations are more buttery.
Checkpoint Radio with the dulcet buttery tones.
Now, here's the thing. We've actually got another piece of equipment that we're going to be installing that is an audio compressor and noise gate. Next week, it should sound even
more buttery.
Even butterier.
Butterier.
People will be like, I can't believe it's not a podcast.
Boom.
No, F that. Well done. Well done, Robbie.
Thank you, Norris. Thank you.
Don't give him credit for that.
I got to.
No.
That was a good one.
No, it wasn't. I'm not going to give you any credit for that. Anyway, that's exciting for us because, you know, we don't get new equipment very often.
We don't.
We try to get as much mileage out of our equipment as we possibly can. RIP to our old board. It served us well. I think it served us for over 2 years. I think
about that. Yeah, actually, yeah, about, yeah, right. You're about right.
Oh wow, do you remember the board before that one?
I do.
The tiny board.
Well, yeah, because that's our road board.
Yeah,
we still
road
use that
board.
We used it at E3. We'll be using it out in Las Vegas. So it's still out there.
Serves a purpose.
This one's a little bit big to take on the road, though.
Yeah,
I wouldn't.
So this one is
on
an emergency board.
It's now
it's an emergency.
No, that one's now a floorboard.
Oh,
all right, no. Flag on the play.
Nate's giving me
personal foul
play.
I'm not okay with this.
SOS. This is me calling the boats in the river.
Okay.
Going
not
for the hat trick, guys.
Last thing that I wanted to mention is that we did not do this episode this week over Twitch. I do want to thank everyone that has gone over to twitch.tv/checkpointradio, has followed us, and enjoys generally the shows that we do live on Wednesdays. Unfortunately, this week, Comcast was doing some major repair on some of the utility lines outside. There was something like, what, three trucks as you guys were putting
in? When I came in, there was two Comcast trucks, two plumbing trucks, another communications truck of some kind, there was a lot of repairs going on in this immediate vicinity.
Yeah, so there's been some bad weather. We've got, of course, the nor'easter.
The
nor'easter that was coming in today, dumping all kinds of terrible winter weather all across the East Coast and a bit into the Midwest. So we definitely got hit with that. And I guess, I don't know if that's playing some sort of role in whatever's going on with the internet connection, but we decided not to chance it this week and, only do half of the show over, over Twitch. And we just said, you know what, forget it. We'll be live next week. So for those that do enjoy watching the show live on Twitch, twitch.tv/checkpointradio, don't worry. We're going to be back there next week.
Yep.
Comcast willing. So, all right, let's get into an iTunes review here, shall we?
Hell yeah.
All right, this one comes to us from Tyler Scott Thies. I think that might be...
It's an interesting name.
Yeah, Tyler Scott Thess, something like that. Anyway, he says, I've been listening to this podcast since about 2 months after it started, after I heard them on the radio.
Yeah.
I don't know 90% of the games that they're even talking about, at least until they inform me about them. And then I have at least some sense of what's going on in the gaming world. I really listen because they are entertaining, and I learn about a lot about something of which I am not an expert. Tyler, thank you so much for your review.
That was nice.
I feel like
that's the type of response that Kevin, our producer, would love to hear. That's like our target demographic, I think, in his eyes, is that casual gamer.
That's right. So we are now sitting officially at 34 reviews. We want to get 60 reviews. We got 30 reviews in our first year doing the podcast. We want to get 60 reviews in our second year. And so far, you guys are pacing very, very well. So again, thank you. If you'd like to go leave us a review on iTunes, we really encourage it because it helps other people find the show. All right. So let's take a look at what was going on this week on the radio show. First, we start off by talking about the ESRB finally addressing the loot box situation. But I think
if I have to hear, but we start today with loot boxes one more goddamn time.
I know, right?
I really have to know, Norris, because both during this week and last week when we covered this on our runoff, you took the position of, well, this is the thinking, you know, of the ESA, because obviously they profit as long as the industry profits. Sort of like morally and like by your own principles, where do you stand? Do you personally think this is enough?
No, of course not. Of course it's not enough. I mean,
do you think that just having the distinction put on between loot boxes and paid DLC,
one-time purchase,
would that be enough to make the difference?
I mean, I'm not sure. I'm honestly not sure. I think no matter what, if you just throw it on the box, there's a certain large segment of the game buying community, mostly parents who themselves are not gamers.
Sure.
They don't really know the difference between the two, and it's not really going to matter much to them anyway. They're just going to see that, you know, their kid asked for the newest, hottest game, and they're going to go get it.
But isn't this part of the education? Because there's only so much that the ESRB can do. They can't literally stop and educate every single parent.
No.
Just truth. Like when they started including the rating system on video games, there was an informational campaign to try to teach parents in stores what each one of the symbols meant.
And yet parents still bought Mortal Kombat for their kids, still bought GTA for their kids.
What was the ESRB supposed to do about content?
That's
all they can do. They're as a license or as ratings board.
Right.
That's really all they're allowed to do.
Here's the difference, though. I think a lot of parents, because mine definitely fell in this category. All right, there's violence in the video game. Okay, so what? They watch violence on TV all the time anyway. But I think when you tell them, like, all right, you know, check that they're 21, and instead of just being, oh yeah, there's violence in this video game, hey, there's purchases in this video game, to parents, when it comes down to, oh, my kid could be costing me money?
Well,
that's a little bit deeper than just, oh, there's some violence in it.
I think that actually changes the narrative right there. Yeah.
Well, parents and people ignored the M and T distinction all the time. You know, I was a benefactor of that. I got an M-rated game when I think I was 10. But that didn't stop them from putting the M and T distinction on there like they're arguing now. Well, people don't know what loot boxes are. They'll ignore it. They didn't know what your M rating meant either, but you still put it on there because you had to.
Well, right, and that's why I said it's not enough. And that's why, of course, from a morality standpoint, mm-hmm. or my personal feelings toward it, yeah, I think they can do a hell of a lot more, and I think they could be a hell of a lot more vocal. But at the same time, I understand the business end
right.
of it.
Sure.
And the cynic in me says, no, they're going to do the bare minimum, and they're definitely not about to upset the apple cart with the developers and the publishers. They're not going to do that.
Well, and I think that the ESA has a lot more to worry about with, you know, the president breathing down their neck and things like that. But I do think that, again, if this issue isn't fully, not, maybe fully solved is the wrong way to put it, but if significant headway isn't made on the loot box conversation,
there's not some concessions,
right, there's going to be a serious problem, and we're starting to see it in Hawaii, because how exactly do you release a product when 49 of the 50 states that you're releasing it to have different rules about what has to be labeled in your game and who or who can't purchase it?
Here's the thing. Either one of two things are going to happen. You're going to have essentially what is the Australia effect, and certain games just may not even get released in Hawaii. They may just,
they just don't ship them over there.
They just don't ship them over there.
Okay,
they're
going to
take that as a loss.
Yeah, but you can download, you know, 99.9% of video games these days. So.
Yeah,
right,
but if
you're,
that
you're
IP
generally
is,
region lock in between states.
Yeah, you're not, but is it possible? Probably.
Is it?
Address, if your IP address is coming from Hawaii, we don't allow you to access this game.
Ooh. I don't
know.
It could
be done. But
from a technical standpoint, it could be done.
But we're not talking about blanketly restricting access to games with loot boxes. We're talking about for only someone that's 21 and under.
Well, if you can have a pass through and prove that.
But yeah, how do you prove that?
You don't, because kids are just going to lie on their parents' accounts. That's what I'm saying. They're going to keep making these types of moves, and the industry is going to try to move to address the situation.
Sure.
But the market, I think, is not really going to change that much, so these changes are going to be superficial, in my opinion, at best, unless there's legislation behind it. That's my stance on it.
Well, but the ESRB at this point, their goal has to be keeping the legislators out of the conversation mm-hmm. and keeping them at bay. The question is, does labeling this sort of content within video games and on boxes, does it do that? Does it accomplish that?
It already hasn't.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't seem like it has, especially in the case of Hawaii and, of
right.
course, with Maggie Hassan as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
So, but again, reframing the question, does distinguishing between those two types of DLC, does that do enough? And then what else could they possibly do at this point without simply just kicking the issue over to the FTC?
I don't think it does enough, but I think it does more. I think, you know, that does inform.
It at least looks like a good faith gesture.
It looks like with the game's rating system. It still was a good faith gesture, and there were some parents who looked at it and said,
I concede that, yes, obviously the ESRB, the ESA can't do everything for us, right? At some point, it does fall on us, but they
consumer responsibility is a very real thing.
Exactly. Right. But you have to at least, I think, you know, as the Bills Command of Hawaii have shown, that you have to at least show the difference between a one-time purchase and randomized prices.
Here's what I want.
Well,
because LB for loot boxes.
Specifically, that bill makes that distinction.
Yes.
Right.
So if the Hawaii legislature is able to make that distinction, the ESRB
damn sure can.
Should not flinch from making that distinction. And this kind of like half-hearted excuse that like, oh, well, we don't think that consumers are going to be able to recognize the difference. The government recognizes the difference. You don't need to worry about consumers. You need to worry about the government.
Tell you what, on the back of that package, if it has loot boxes, put in big bold letters, credit card required.
Yeah,
see which parents don't start asking questions.
That's
then.
A big one.
That's
right
what
there.
I was going to hint at is I wanted to say loot boxes, and I want the picture to be a kid taking money out of his parents' wallet. That'll raise some eyebrows.
That
it's kind of like the picture of burnt lungs on a cigarette
exactly.
pack in Canada.
That makes you go, huh?
Yeah. Makes you at least think twice.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least go, what is this?
What does this mean?
What is this?
It means your kid's going to bleed you dry for that new tracer skin.
Oh, that one? That means that on your way out of the store, a group of kids is going to mob you when you have it. Oh.
We also talk about the latest in esports news, as well as AMD deciding to try to compete for esports fans, but taking a slightly different approach by optimizing their hardware for very popular esports games. And I don't know that that's enough to necessarily get the job done, but I do think that, that NVIDIA has, I mean, NVIDIA and Intel have really kind of ruled the game in terms of like building your own PC. And I've kind of held steadfast to AMD, and I understand why Intel and NVIDIA kind of lead the pack. They're very good at what they do.
Well, here's my
thing. I'm not trying to down on AMD at all, but they do seem...
But they're more budget-friendly.
They are budget-friendly. Not just that, but I mean, like, there's also... I mean, I don't know.
Speaking from
recent
personal experience, then this has happened multiple times now with specifically with Overwatch, and I also have an AMD card, is I've started to run into sometimes issues when I update the current drivers that Overwatch crashes. And obviously I'll look into fixing it, and different people have different blah, 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 whatever. But what it's ended up coming down to is that Blizzard basically goes, look, it's not a problem with us. AMD has to fix it. And then AMD saying, no, it's not a problem with us. Blizzard has to fix it. And when you have stuff like that going down, just this whole idea like, oh, we're going to start optimizing for esports, it's kind of hard to swallow.
Listen, I understand your cynicism in that department. I had a similar problem with one of my video cards in Final Fantasy 11. Mm-hmm. And it took a few weeks, a couple of months maybe, but they were able to end up sorting out the issue.
And I realize that eventually it is going to get fixed, but having to constantly update and then, oh no, I guess I have to roll back, it's very, very annoying.
I can imagine that would
so
be frustrating.
Salty. All this experiential, anecdotal evidence bullshit. No, dude, let's talk about this money, okay? Because that's what this story is really all about. And you basically have AMD saying that they want to make a play at a massive amount of money, and y'all just want to talk about yourself.
And I'm saying that I don't think they can if the way that they've been operating is any indicator.
Fair enough.
I think that this is really the only way AMD can approach the market at this point. I think Intel and NVIDIA have the esports scene so locked up. Look no further than than IEM. Like, they have that on lock.
Well, I think Intel is also the official sponsor of the OWL as well. Everywhere you look, Intel, Omen by HP.
I mean, they're definitely a step ahead, right? Like, I mean, AMD's got to do something. This is better than them doing absolutely quantifiably nothing.
Right.
You know, so, you know, if you're a trailing third, what exactly do you do to try to make up some of that ground? I don't know that this is it, but
you start the Netflix for games.
Oh, that's
what Xbox is doing.
I was about to say, that's Microsoft. So I guess,
see what you did there.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
We also talk about the latest scandal with gamers. With the Z. Okay.
Gamers with a Z.
Gamers with a Z.
And this trash.
There's only way.
Trash.
How do you fix this?
The only way that that title is cool is if you're from Europe.
Dude, this was one story where at first this was just going to be a news story. And I read it. I'm like, there's no way we don't spend 4 minutes of the news laughing at this. If I put it in there.
Can someone explain to me, like legitimately, how did they get a second season?
But it's first of all, because it's a web series that had no standards to begin with.
Yeah, it's not like NBC is renewing the
show. So that's number one. Number two is could you imagine, like, Big Brother or Survivor? Yeah, could you imagine Survivor that after all that, right, they get to the end and they're... All right, you won $1 million. Great job. And then 2 weeks later, when they catch up with you on the reunion show,
they're like ducking your calls and shit.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, yeah, man.
They don't want to make eye contact.
I ain't got paid yet.
Literally, yeah. So you won $1 million. Unfortunately, we don't have $1 million, so we're going to pay you $500,000, and you also have to give us 20% of what you make on The Price is Right next week. When you get that car, we're going to need your front tires at the minimum. And also, I don't have the $500,000 to pay you. Interestingly, you want to be on next season? That's pretty much what happened.
That's basically what it is, bro.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's not a good situation. It's not a good look at all.
And to answer your question,
it's not
Robbie,
a good show, but I mean, it's not a good look.
Well, to answer Robbie's question, how did it get picked up? Because despite all that, somebody watched it.
Somebody watched it.
I don't know if it was just people over in Europe were into it. They were all European players.
Guess
maybe
what?
There was some
Guess
interest
what?
There.
Checkpoint Radio's top 10 esports reality shows that if you keep watching, you are a terrible person.
Just gamers 10 times.
I just think there's been a few other ones.
There's actually, there has been a few other ones.
Yeah,
was that Gamers any good? The one that followed the gay gamers?
Was
Oh, wait, that was a thing?
I'm pretty sure that was a thing.
Really?
I just thought I that was something so. People called themselves.
I'm not
wow.
saying a single thing because I've not heard of this.
I'm going to look real quick.
What the fuck
yeah,
are you
better.
Talking about?
This is that better be a real thing.
This you is bet. Now going to be in his Google search history, and he is going to be regretting it for a long
Yo,
time.
Fam.
It's going to be in someone's Safari search history.
Are you using my iPad?
Yes, he is.
No.
Great.
Sorry, I already have some questionable things in my Google history thanks to this show.
I'm just saying that, like, when I start getting questionable ads served up to me on Facebook, I'm going to start blaming you. It's going to be your fault. Anyway, so, yeah, this is a fairly all-around big embarrassment.
It's a clusterfuck.
It really is. It's not... This.
By the way, it was hard to do that segment on the show without calling it a clusterfuck.
Yes.
Damn FCC.
I tend to agree. But, I mean, so... what do they do? Like,
where does it go from here?
Yeah, where does it go?
I think they should change esports. I think they just switch over to like Dota 2 or something, get a whole new group of people in, promise them a 2-year contract this time. That way.
And actually show them the case of money at the beginning.
Right, but then they spend the case of money throughout the season
on hookers and blow.
It's like we want to be really serious about this, but you just can't.
You can't.
The story is so bonkers.
I know. It really is. It's
You know
crazy.
What? Here's the thing, man. I'm looking sideways, and this is what happens, but I'm looking sideways at Fnatic on this one, too, because they're still attached to the project.
Are they? I don't know if
so
they are.
So is HP and Omen.
Oh.
Okay. Both of them are. All yeah. Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's sad.
Fnatic. It's not a good look.
So I was kind of wrong, and this took a really weird turn. All right. It's not any type of like,
oh, you putting gamers into your search pad
no,
and you're wondering
no,
and you're surprised that it took a weird turn?
Not that weird. Not that weird. There
okay.
is not a TV series, but apparently there is a book series, and it's a romance novel.
Wow.
There are three of them so far.
Oh.
I know what I'm getting Joe for Christmas.
Status update, beta test, and the third one is untitled.
Wow.
Is it not out yet and it's untitled, or it's
yeah.
called untitled?
No. It's not out yet and it's untitled.
Okay. I like beta test. That's kind of funny.
Listen to this. Opposites attract in the closet, stranded together.
That's an R. Kelly music video.
I feel exploited.
I feel exploited
right now.
That is awful, man.
I did not realize that gaysploitation has reached video
Hold on,
gaming.
Here's the thing, right? A closet is not like a remote location. You can't really get stranded in a closet.
Yeah.
That is the wrong word to use. It's poorly
the
written.
Only, I mean, maybe you can get locked in
hey,
there.
You know,
by
maybe there's some context to that. Oh, wait, there's a number 1.5, new status needed.
Wow, okay, we got the sequel.
Yeah.
I'll say this, it got 3 books. Someone's buying it.
I mean, it's probably self-published on Amazon.
Number 3 is called, I guess it is out, Connection Error, and 3.5 is Love Connection.
Okay.
Right. So there's technically...
All right,
one,
so
two,
this was a strange hole that you took us down,
yeah,
Robbie.
I'm gonna read this and review it at some point.
Do a review.
I'm gonna get this for you. I'm gonna buy this for you.
He's gonna buy it with Nate's card.
Yeah,
on
don't.
Nate's,
yeah, not on my iPad.
On Nate's iPad.
Okay, fine. I am rating them all 5 stars, though.
Nate's great. Gonna be getting ads for like gay dating services.
It's great.
Oh my god, gamers would be such a great dating service app.
Yep.
Yeah, you're
there
not
you
wrong.
Hey, what's your Facebook password?
Nope.
Absolutely not.
I can't rate it unless I sign in, though.
Yeah,
oh, no.
Good. All right. I like it that way. Yeah, you're not going to know. Anyway, so we also spent the last segment of hour one trying to guess the top 25 most iconic video game characters
of all time.
And
another shit list, by the way,
man,
because it didn't have
Guinness.
Any, no, it didn't
Guinness
have
did this, man.
Guinness can fuck up. A broke clock is fucked up at least all day.
What happened there?
You mean a broken clock is right, twice a day?
Wow. Wow.
That was a Bushism.
You choked so
hard. That was a Bushism. That was awful. But anyway, the whole point is this list didn't have any fighting game characters, and that's fucked
up. Maybe that just tells you that fighting game characters aren't iconic.
That's a lie.
Get away from me.
Dude, remember that classic line?
Well, maybe it's hard to figure out who is the breakout icon in a roster that is pretty heavy with icons.
Bruh, if you saw a picture of Chun-Li right now, you would know it's Chun-Li.
I mean, I would.
Hadouken.
Of course I would.
See? You know where that comes from.
Ken.
Norris.
Yes.
Wait, really?
Yes. Shit.
Norris had Kirby and Yoshi,
Link,
Mario and Link and Samus.
Okay,
a lot
Smash.
Of fighting game characters.
Okay,
on
Smash,
here.
Fine. But still, man, that was really disappointing.
That's kind of a technicality.
Yeah,
right.
It is.
That was really disappointing, man. But y'all gotta agree with me on that. That was disappointing.
Only because I didn't get
like,
the points.
Like, here's the thing. Not even so much the Street Fighter ones, but as far as pop culture goes, I can't believe Scorpion and Sub-Zero weren't on there.
Yeah.
Because people who don't care about video games
here.
Know who that is.
Yeah.
That's fair. Let's see. So we also talk about the latest in gaming news, including President Trump meeting with the ESA. You know, we talked
a
in
line
the,
we hoped to never have
yeah,
to say.
Yeah. You know, we had mentioned that the ESRB and the ESA have a little bit more on their plate to worry about than just loot boxes. It is an important subject. Don't get
you
me
know,
wrong. I'm not trying to downplay it, but there is also this
a whole nother narrative.
Yeah, this meeting that's going down
tomorrow. When you guys have all listened to this, it'll probably have happened.
It will have. Yeah.
Wow, we might be foretelling like the end times right here.
Look,
well, let's hope not.
All the ESA has to do going into that meeting is bring a copy of Wii Golf with them, and he will get so sidetracked.
Yo,
be over with.
Well, but the thing is I think that it is very interesting to note that he does have some family ties to the video game industry. It may be distant, granted, but there are some sort of family ties, and there is some sort of money that, you know, that it might give him at least a sense of context.
But
I don't know.
I feel like
I'm trying to find some
there
sort
is
of
no
silver
lining. There is none. Okay, this is gray, overcast thunderstorm.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're the silver lining you're trying to give it is maybe his brother will come in and be like, hey, you know. Look, this is
well.
All
his
bad.
Brother is supposed to be apparently a part of these talks.
Right, and is a recluse. What if that relationship isn't very
recluse.
Good?
Recluse.
He's a hermit. What if this the relationship between them has never been very good, and this is just like his way to spite his brother?
Here's my thing.
Boy, that's a narrative that was just plucked out of the ether.
Seriously.
What are you going to...
What is that based on, Robbie?
You
want
to unleash some fanfic on us, too? Like, you're just making bullshit up.
Works for Japan. They have that that manga series about his son, My Father the President.
What?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't know about that?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. Yeah, it stars his son, and basically it's like his life...
Which one? The one
Baron.
He pays attention to?
Yes, sorry. The youngest one. Yeah, and basically the whole idea is the fact that he's his father's kind of like ruins his entire life.
It's sort of... Imagine like Richie Rich, right?
Yeah,
like,
right. Okay, there you
like
go.
Richie
yeah.
Rich.
Okay.
But I mean,
not dissimilar.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, is that... Even though, you know, we can lament this whole meeting, you know, if it goes down the way it goes down, what if, in a strange way, because there's so much money on the line, he just says, hey, guys, you did what you were supposed to do. Okay, cool.
Well, and it should be
let's
noted,
just let it go.
I didn't get a chance to mention this on the show, too, but a similar meeting actually went down between former Vice President Joe Biden and some industry leaders after the Sandy Hook incident back in 2013. And nothing really came of that one either, because, I mean, honestly, what can they really do?
Here's the thing. If you want your silver lining, this is it. President Trump took a hardline stance against China until he met with the Prime Minister of China, and then he talked about how great China was. So he takes a hardline stance against gaming and then meets with the ESA. We could be getting our biggest ally in the very near future.
Here's the... okay, that's a scary, scary proposition.
I'm not... Every ally is not a good one, Joe.
Yeah. At what cost? Here's the thing, though, is that I don't.
I'm trying, man.
It's a conflicting feeling.
It's impossible to get a read on the man, and you know, because he changes every 2 days. You know, he could walk away from that meeting going, "Yeah, I had some very positive things that were said in that meeting, and I think that we've come to a really good understanding." And then 2 days later, he's scapegoating him again. You don't know.
Yeah,
just, his actions say that he's all over the place. Yeah, it's all over the place. You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
so. I try to have zero expectations.
That's what I'm leaning towards. Yeah. I have no expectations for this meeting whatsoever.
In the great words of Samuel L. Jackson, hold on to your butts.
Fair point. We also gave the Switch a report card after its first year of release, and I think it did fairly well, especially. Yeah. In the line of modern Nintendo systems, I can't name another one that would have done as well.
Well, not to mention with Norris on the console here.
Well, not very many systems would get a B when having to be graded by the Checkpoint Radio crew. We're not particularly nice to things.
No, I mean, I am the Nintendo cynic in the room, but fair. I thought I was fair.
Yeah, you were.
I think we were all pretty fair with our assessment, but I think, again, my biggest takeaway from the Switch is how adventurous Nintendo is being with the game lineup, because I think that they've learned that they cannot continue to subsist in their own little Nintendo bubble.
Yep.
They've got a great advantage on their own platform by having a great stable of games that people love, and now they've got the hardware and the flexibility of the hardware to be able to bring some of those other great games and third party support to the system. So. I definitely think that this is the strongest offering that Nintendo has had, both in a console and a handheld, in the last 10 years.
It's the first Nintendo system I've wanted in a long... since the 64. I didn't want a GameCube, I didn't want a Wii, and I didn't want a Wii U.
I begrudgingly got a 3DS because I wanted to start playing Pokemon.
You're welcome. I was gifted a 3DS.
No. The 3DS that I was given was given to me by Nell Celestine.
No, all credit to Nell. I didn't mean you're welcome for the 3DS. You're welcome for getting you into Pokemon.
So I guess let's rewind the clock. I actually first wanted to play Bravely Default, which is why Nell had given me the system in the first place.
Stop trying to take credit, Robbie.
And then once I had it, my friend Nate over at a store that I frequent actually bought me Omega Ruby.
You're welcome.
No, this has nothing to do with you.
Stop trying to insert yourself into the narrative.
You didn't buy me that game. I wouldn't have started playing Pokemon if I didn't have Alpha or Omega Ruby. And I wouldn't have had that because you wouldn't have bought it for me. I wouldn't have bought it for myself. That is all Nate's doing.
I wish I knew more lyrics to that song. But I'll just have to go with, you're welcome.
Oh my God. Robbie just wants to feel like he's part of something.
Checkpoint Radio.
Sure.
Barely.
And we also talk about the latest in OWL this week and the drama pool.
And Team Douchebag rolls right along.
I like Team Bigot.
Team Bigot?
Yeah. Yeah, Team Bigot.
You know what? Right. I got a question.
No, Team Bigot. That's too strong and intelligent.
It's too intelligent. Okay.
Bigots are intelligent?
No. I feel like the word
highbrow.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Yeah, highbrow.
All right.
We'll go with Team Douchebag.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Fair.
All right. What were you saying, Joe?
How come the slur has to keep being to LGBT people? How come we can't get some more diversity in our slurs on a Team Bigot?
You're
going
to have to ask that to the Dallas Douchebags.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, Dallas Douchebags. Douchebag. Boom.
Here's the thing. I think it's because it's so easy for people to defer to it because, like, people have spent so much of a longer time, especially, like, with like
gaming culture, I think.
Yeah, with gaming culture, and unfortunately, that's so much more part of the lexicon.
It's awful and fucked up,
but it just is. It's ingrained in the culture of gaming, and like I just think it flies out. It's not an excuse.
Like,
no, not
way,
at all.
In no way is that an excuse. And I do think that when it happens, people need to be held accountable.
Totally.
Like what is kind of happening in this case. Although I did notice that he's playing tonight.
Yeah, we forgot to mention that no type of penalties or anything have been levied against him. We haven't heard anything from the OWL or...
Which is weird. They benched XQC.
But XQC was already a repeat offender.
Yeah,
like,
it was his second
before
offense.
The season even started.
And it was... And specific to XQC, he was talking about a fellow OWL competitor.
Yeah, it's also true.
That was not the case here.
I'm not sure that should matter.
But here's the thing. Number one, yes, you guys are totally correct. It shouldn't matter. But number two is like straight up and down. If he was on stream and said nigger, like you would see a massive push from black gamers in the black gaming community to be like, you know what? We not fucking well. We're not fucking with Dallas Fuel.
I kind of wonder if behind the scenes somewhere, like if they don't have some type of like strike system, that might have gotten him some type of verbal at the very least, right?
No, I'm just saying I haven't seen, for as big as this is, and I'm not saying that this is their responsibility or whatever, but I'm saying for as much as this happened and for how frequent it's becoming with Dallas Fuel, I haven't seen, at least on social media, I haven't seen like, you know, LGBT Dallas Fuel fans just be like, nope, I'm done.
Their fans don't even care.
I can't support this team.
Yeah, no, their fans don't seem to care at all.
Do you think that's the normalized trash talk?
But that's probably part of it, too.
Yeah.
The other strange thing, though, is now that you mention it, the headline that caught my attention wasn't Taimu uses slur on stream. It was ESPN reporter that breaks story is caught using the same slurs on Twitter.
Well, I think it's a double story. It's part of the ubiquity of
This happened back at the end of January,
right,
and
January
we're in
23rd.
March now. Right. And it only came back because of Twitter.
Right. Now, that I think is actually kind of important information to include, is that the fact that this happened back in January.
January 23rd.
Someone's trying to dig it up and use it as ammunition. I think that may actually color my opinion of this quite differently.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit unfair to go through and pick through someone's broadcast history and judge them by some shit that happened 3 months ago. You know what I mean? Like, was this a story that happened 3 months ago?
I'm checking to see when the ESPN reporter's actual original story of it came out.
Right.
Because if this is like someone's digging through one player's, you know, broadcast history,
yeah,
of course you're going to find some stuff. And I think, you know, I
think that's part of why, like, he hasn't been suspended, is because it's not a...
It wasn't recent, an active...
It's not an active thing. It's not like he went on Twitch, you know...
Today.
Well, if
today
they already,
or
like,
yesterday.
Look,
but...
If when it happened, they dealt with it then and internally, because there was a Blizzard report made when it happened.
There was.
That's what the story said, yeah.
Okay.
So, because... and I mean, Dallas Fuel did not comment on the... what actions they took. It's not, they don't have to.
They don't have
they're
to.
They're not required
yeah, it's
to.
Not public.
So, if you know, if they handled it internally, that said, hey, like, look, dude, this is strike one for you. Don't do that stuff
again.
So,
why is this coming up in March?
It looks like the ESPN story broke on March 4th.
Because the person who actually wrote the story themselves is also guilty of using the same slur.
But is that are you talking, Robbie? Are you talking about the original article that ESPN wrote?
Yes, it starts with Dallas player Fuel Tomo used anti-gay slurs on his stream back on January 23rd, but has not yet received a punishment from the Overwatch League regarding his remarks.
And that was March 4th.
Nor is it clear if he will. And then I think because of this, basically people went and looked at this reporter's Twitter and saw that he did the exact same things, and
right,
that's the story.
So, okay, so at least in March 4th it was a original story, but it's still a little weird to go back, though.
That's 3 months that someone has gone
that's
back
Stevie.
And yeah I don't know how I feel about that.
But at the same time, if he's trying to establish a pattern in this organization, maybe he, first of all, if you don't have an established pattern, two is not a pattern. If you don't have an established pattern, don't write the story.
Yeah.
But I can see his motivation of going through a broadcast history and saying, all right, they got this XQC kid who keeps, you know, saying fucked up shit on a stream. Is something else going on with this team?
And or is someone else bringing it to his attention?
Do the background.
Right, and that's perfectly fair.
Yeah.
But then to go and write an article calling out this other player for something that happened back in January, I think that's very disingenuous. Yeah.
It doesn't excuse the action, though.
No, it doesn't excuse the action. But, I mean, even viewed through, like, ignoring the fact that, you know, people picked apart this reporter's Twitter and found him using the exact kind of same language. And so, yes, whether you think that that's right or wrong, that's definitely hypocritical. You know what I mean? Like,
no, say it's kind of, it's kismet, though. It's fate.
Yeah.
You went and did this to somebody and literally the internet did the same thing to
you. Do as I say, not as I do. It's sort of like what he was sort of projecting, which, of course, I think is very disingenuous. Right. But I at the same time, it is also very weird that someone would be going through broadcast histories like that. I don't know. That part of it makes me really uncomfortable.
Quick, there was also a comment here from a customer service representative that said, due to privacy security concerns, we can't discuss any specifics. Right. Rest assured, however, this has not been ignored. So,
My guess would be they handled it internally when it originally happened and said, listen, this is your strike one. Don't do that.
Don't
shit.
Do it again.
And then that's why when the news broke now, they're like, well, we're not going to go back and punish him because of the news. We've already handled it.
And if you remember what Siegel mentioned during the XQC thing is that, you know, what you're seeing, the punishments you're seeing aren't just because of this. Other stuff has been happening behind closed doors.
Right.
Okay.
And then we wrap up the show as we normally do with our social media question. An interesting question this week.
Difficult question.
If you could take any non-gaming property and make it into a video game, what would it be? And I think that we got some really fascinating responses.
Really well thought out for you guys, though.
Because two people commented saying Ready Player One, which yes is technically a book, but it's about a video game. I feel like in some way they kind of cheated
a
little
bit.
So long as we're all on the same
page.
That's
cheating. Yeah. I don't want to trip a meta narrative.
But then, yeah, I mean, you had the one guy who said, someone said Ender's Game, too. That's almost just like saying Ready Player One.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Now, that said,
a video game about a movie about a book about video games?
Yeah. Right. When the question popped up, I did think Ender's Game immediately. So,
yeah,
I guess.
Tisk.
Yeah. I don't know. What other classic
Tremors?
Tremors, wow.
Yeah.
That would be.
What kind of game would Tremors be?
Survival horror sandbox.
Yeah, okay, there you go. All right. Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that
like Until
awesome.
Dawn or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'd be sweet. Yeah, yes. Or Dead by Daylight, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Dead by Daylight.
Yeah,
oh,
something
yeah.
along those lines.
Oh, man.
How about some like classic literature?
Ooh. Moby Dick the game.
Huckleberry Finn the game.
No,
listen.
No. Moby Dick the game.
That's not going to be okay.
Might be cool.
Wait a minute. Lord of the Flies the game.
Someone said that. Actually, that would be
someone
a really good that. One too. That's and they're like, awesome. Imagine if it was like a pick your own adventure type thing where you actually got to choose whether or not Piggy died.
Bye, Piggy.
But everyone's killing Piggy.
I love
it. So
Piggy.
Annoying.
No, dude.
Did you see the movie?
Yes.
We have no place for weakness on this island.
How about the Giving Tree?
No.
Just be really sad.
No.
Oh, jeez.
How would you make that into a video game? It wouldn't be violent, I guess.
No. You know what? You could freaking do a Goosebumps, like Telltale. Every month.
Oh, yeah.
For
that'd
like
be cool.
5 years.
Fuck that. Stranger Things.
Yeah.
I like Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Stranger
Things.
Fuck Goosebumps. Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
Yeah. Expand that universe. Sort of like, I mean, you don't
that,
even.
That'd
have,
be a really. See, oh my god.
That'd be a cool way to do it, right?
Right?
How about The Purge?
Okay.
I don't like the movies, but as a video game.
As a video game, that would make sense. That would make sense.
Yeah, it would.
It would make,
you know,
it would
what?
Make
it could be like a multiplayer video game where you either have to like shore up your house's defenses and fight whoever comes in.
Yeah.
Or you're the person.
Make it a tower defender?
Yeah.
The Purge tower defense.
Be cool.
Yeah.
You could make that a mobile game, dude.
Yeah, you really could.
Yeah, actually, you probably could. You'd have to erect barricades in your own house.
Dude, yes. We'd make billions.
That'd be kind of cool.
Billions.
That would be kind of cool. So yeah, appreciate all of those responses to our social media question. If you want to get in on those, because we read your responses to those damn near every week on the show, make sure you follow us. That's Check PT Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Joe,
yes,
I understand you've got some axes to grind.
I do.
You've got some dull axes. Well, we could sharpen them.
We need to sharpen some axes.
Okay.
You know what? I only had one until I got here today, and then I had another one pop up.
And he saw Robbie's face, and he said, I got another axe to grind.
So, the first one comes at the expense of you, Nintendo. We said some nice things about you today, but I got news for you. Your loyalty program sucks ass.
You shouldn't attend. Don't do that. That's three.
All right, I've lost the passion.
It's
no. Here's the
way
thing.
Way to run the train right into a wall.
Yeah, got so they announced their loyalty program. And you know what? In theory, buy games to get points, trade points in for free stuff is the most...
Very simple.
It's the most, yeah, time-tested, approved system of doing a rewards
program. Loyalty. Buy our games. Be loyal to us. We're going to give back to you.
How did Nintendo screw it up? Here's the thing. When calculated out, you'd have to spend $1,200 on digital products to get a free $60 game.
What?
So that, what that translates
to... How much is a Switch?
$300? $299?
Wasn't it $399? No, $299, right?
I think $299.
Dude,
the whole point is
you have to spend $500 to get this free sub. Who's gonna do that?
Well,
who's
so yeah,
gonna do
that's
that?
What works out too. For every 20 $60 games you buy, you get one for free. Now again, the program doesn't cost
are
anything.
Are there even
so
20
like
games okay. out for the system
all right, but
yet?
Actually, if there's no monthly cost to
there's
it,
not.
That's actually a little bit different.
But
wait,
here's the problem.
There's more.
So that's $1,200 for a digital one. If you're buying physical products, by the way, it's $6,000.
Wait,
you get
wait,
it at
wait.
A way worse rate. You get points at way worse rates. So,
so physical products are just more points.
No, they're less.
Less
points.
Less points.
You would need to spend $6,000 on physical products to get a free game. Only $1,200 on
physical. Oh, okay.
They want you to use their online store.
I see. So physical products also accrue points.
They do accrue points, but just less.
I thought you were saying that if you wanted to exchange points for a physical product as opposed to
a
digital one.
No,
okay,
no,
I see
no.
what you're saying.
So here's the problem, though. Your points reset after a year.
Wait, so you have to spend $1,200 in a year to get one free game.
Yeah. That's correct.
Duh.
No.
Fuck Nintendo.
This is
that's,
so... Look.
That's awful.
They may as well not have it.
Thank you. I went into a store the other day and my girlfriend bought me the Tracer Nendoroid. It was $50, right? They're like,
what the fuck is a Nendoroid?
It's a little figurine that you can like change the faces and the poses and stuff like that. Anyway,
are you 12?
He's a kid. He's a child.
The point
We've
is,
proven that.
The point
many times
is,
on this show.
She buys that for me, and they hand us
I feel
30...
sorry for her that she had to take that in.
Katie, stop doing that shit.
Take a fucking... Take that to a fellow adult.
Yes. Buy that man a pair of pants.
The whole... I have so many pants, I work at a pants store.
Buy him a good shirt.
Jeez.
I work at a pants store.
The point is, guys, $50 and they handed me back $30 in coupons for the next time that I come in.
Right.
I spent $50. They gave me $30 back.
Yeah. Have you ever shopped in a Kohl's? They'll damn near pay for your next trip. That makes me feel like coming back. No, this program is ridiculous. All right, I don't like to talk about my work too often on this show. My work's loyalty program, in many ways, kind of sucks. It's okay. It's just like this. You spend money, you earn points. You got to spend a lot of money to get anything free. But our points never expire. If you come to our store 10 years later, you still have that balance.
Especially if points are so difficult or expensive to
acquire, right?
Yeah.
Dude, it's like I sat back and I remember thinking about
make them reset after 10 years. Jesus.
Sure, whatever.
You know, but every year that's dumb.
Even you know, people talk so much about like PlayStation Plus or whatever, right? But I know at least once a month there might be a game, maybe, that I'm interested in getting for free.
Here's the thing.
Maybe.
Here's the thing. That's what PlayStation Plus became. And the fact that they've taken PS3 and PS Vita games off of the free game download, it's no longer worth paying for, I'll be honest. It used to be one of the best deals in gaming because the games that they would make available for free were really impressive across all three platforms. And it was like, I had all three platforms. So I have like over 100 games on PSN that I've gotten through just being a part of the PlayStation Plus program. Stuff that I'll probably never play. Disgaea. I'll never play Disgaea.
But it's there.
It's there, yeah. I mean, but some really great stuff. Dragon Age Origins. Grand Theft Auto, I think, was one that I had nabbed off of there.
They had a few really, really good ones.
Bloodborne was recently a PlayStation Plus for free.
But that's the thing.
It is. There is legit stuff on there sometimes.
These other services practically lob games at you sometimes, and this one you'd have to buy damn near two $60 games a month to get one for free.
So you have to be getting a game a check.
Nintendo, you're doing okay at putting out new games. You're not doing two a month okay, but you're doing okay.
Good point.
And who can afford that?
Listen.
Not me.
It's not even really about affording it. It's just about a simple return on your investment, man. I go to Jimmy John's and you get the little stamp. Was it 10 subs?
We'll roughly
call that what, $50? Give or take.
Roughly, yeah, sure.
$50, you get a free sub.
Yeah.
Dude.
Okay, cool. That's all right with me. If you're telling me I got to spend like literally 20 times that.
Yeah, Charlie subs in the mall. Every 10 subs, you get one for free. Freaking 7-Eleven, every 7 Slurpees, one is free.
Yeah.
Those are simple, easy reward programs that I can do.
And you can do those things when you're spending in the single digits every time you visit. If you're spending $5 each time.
Right.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You can live with that.
But this is a $60 investment.
Each time, yeah.
I don't.
And that's if you only buy digital,
dude.
A
significant portion of my job is talking about and playing video games. I don't know that I buy that many.
No. Buying physical copies would have taken 2/3 of what I earned last year.
But here's the thing, right? You go and you buy a sub, right? You go to Jimmy John's, you buy your sub. You know what that sub tastes like. Yeah, there's some slight variation.
Sure, you might get a bad one occasionally.
You might get a bad one occasionally. Okay, maybe the bread was too old. They put too much lettuce on this one. Whatever, right? You buy a $60 video game, there's a high chance of that video game sucking. Like, a high chance of it being such an unpleasant experience that you just say, fuck this game, and you never play it again.
Because you're having to buy literally everything that comes out for, you know, because if you don't, you're
going to
lose the points.
Ugh.
Can you imagine?
Sitting in month 11.
Like, yeah, Nintendo, I mean, like.
Here's one for you. You're in month 11, right?
Yeah, okay.
Next month, your points are saying, you're $180 away. Do you go buy three games to get that one for free, or do you let it expire?
Wait, better yet. You buy the three games, there's nothing to get for free. You have everything.
You got
Joe,
everything.
That's a Sophie's choice. I don't know that
I know, right?
Can make that.
Three games is like, that's a, like, because if it's
let's
two,
say,
you say, whatever, I'll buy the two games and I'll get my free one.
But let's say there's not even three new games that Nintendo has put out and you're still
right. That you want. What do you do?
As Robbie said,
you buy three copies of one game?
As Robbie said, you have everything if you're buying two games a month.
And there's still not enough points.
Yeah. Wait, this is just games. This is not counting peripherals, right?
I think it's anything that earns you coins. You could probably do peripherals too.
If it's peripherals,
well,
that's
do digital
a
peripherals.
Little,
that's a little different.
That's a
little.
Well, that's
it's
probably.
Still, it's still terrible though.
Yeah.
It's still terrible.
Great. Still terrible.
Yeah,
it's not great.
Oh my god. Still, I still resetting after a year is
that's
such
it's so dumb. That's and literally, if they say if they change that to 10 years, I don't have a complaint because it's a free program. Whatever. Sure.
All right, fair enough.
You said you had another axe to grind. You're dual wielding axes today.
I do. So this right. one. Listen,
axes akimbo. Let's do this.
I am usually one of those guys who will say, I'll go see it. I don't usually like to judge based on trailers. Almost never. Even if a trailer sucks, I'm like, you know what? I'll go see it. Ready Player One looks like ass. I'm going to see it, though.
Really?
I got a movie pass. I see everything eventually. But here's the thing. I saw the trailer for Reboot the Guardian Code. A reboot of a TV show in the 90s.
And you were impressed, weren't you?
Reboot.
Oh my god.
I'll see it for you.
It's so bad.
So
did they watch the show?
No. I mean, they had to, apparently, to steal the hexadecimal.
No, they looked up a picture of Megabyte.
Megabyte, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right.
They looked
right.
up a picture of Megabyte, and they said, great, there's our villain. And someone said, maybe we should use hexadecimal. She looked cooler. And they're like, I can't pronounce that. Megabyte it is.
Am I misremembering Reboot? Wasn't that a terrible show in its own right?
It was.
Reboot, it was a great show.
It was a great show that didn't look good.
Okay.
Like, it was like Beast Wars.
It was endearing.
It was charming.
How do you know that this, which looked terrible, won't be endearing in some
Because
way.
Here's the thing. In the 90s, when that show came out, it looked weird because it was early computer-generated graphics, but it didn't look terrible. You're like, oh, it's inside of a computer. That looks like graphics that you might see inside of a computer in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This looks like hot trash. And again, based on what happens, like, there's people who are absorbed into this world.
First of all, a portion of it is live action.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shh, full stop. You've already lost me.
The characters do not appear. Some of which, maybe for the best, I get it. Maybe Fong didn't need to be in the reboot.
Maybe not
reboot.
Fong. Maybe not
I get it. Maybe a little touchy for 2018.
Yeah.
Sure. No Bob, the main character,
right.
not in the show.
Right.
The only character, in fact, who did get brought over is Megabyte, the villain. Why they did that.
So no Enzo.
The whole premise of the show, by the way, where Bob fights the user in games in the computer, appears to not exist.
It's just they're going up against Megabyte.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And by the way, Megabyte is controlled by some guy in the real world who's trying to use it to take over the world.
This is so dumb.
This is even dumber than
like little people live in your computer.
Listen,
it's dumber.
You know what it is? It looks like, in terms of the effects, it looks like sort of like
shitty Tron.
Spy Kids.
I was just thinking like Shark Girl and Lava Boy, whatever it was.
That was actually made by a halfway competent filmmaker.
Shark Girl, Lava Boy.
Sure.
No, it's Lava Shark. Girl and Shark Boy.
That's it.
That's
Thank
right.
you. Who cares? but also, yeah, mixed with a little bit of Tron.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that they do is they do that Robert Downey Jr. from Iron Man inside the suit perspective.
Every 3 seconds in that trailer.
And it is the worst. I even hate that effect now when it's done with RDJ in the Marvel movie.
And it was cool in Iron Man 1, 2,
and 3. Which I don't think they do very often anymore.
No, they have really gone away from
it.
He hasn't been in his suit.
I mean, since 2, they've moved away from it. But 1 and 2 used that
a lot.
Mostly, and it was, to Marvel's credit, it was a very clever way to not have to animate the suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
like
true.
When you, and I don't know how we're getting back onto Marvel movies, but
right.
all roads like, lead back to Marvel.
Yeah, right? But when you think about it, like, so many of the Marvel movies are, like, I would say even probably majority animation as opposed to, you know, practical shots,
right.
you know, film shots and stuff like that,
yeah.
or even using the actors, right? Like, the vast majority of the action scenes, all animation.
Yeah.
And you can tell in the early, like, the Phase 1 films, the animation wasn't as good. They hadn't quite linked up and finished up with the deal with Disney, so they were very creative with the way that they were doing the movies. Like,
yes,
the
very much so.
Phase one had a lot of practical effects mixed with the animation. Mm-hmm. But now when you get into Doctor Strange is like 90% animated.
Oh, definitely.
You know what I mean? Like, and to a very impressive degree, because it looks like the newer animated stuff looks better than anything that I could have ever imagined.
Yeah, definitely. Again, I don't know how we got back to Marvel from this, but listen, I know we're almost done here. One more thing I want to say about this is just recently I had similar feelings about a trailer that I saw that it was a reboot of something from the 90s, but...
Jumanji?
Yeah.
Jumanji was great.
I love
Jumanji. And you're right. The only reason I was going to see that was because I like The Rock and I like Jack Black.
Yep.
And Chris Hart. Right?
And Jumanji was great. But here's the thing. When I saw Jumanji's trailer, I was like, "Ugh, oh well, I'll go see it." This, I'm livid over. This looks atrocious.
Do you think it could possibly be one of those movies that's so terrible it's funny to watch?
No,
it's well, not the right kind of
I have
of
the
bad.
Trailer pulled up right now,
I'll,
and I'm watching it.
I'll
it
let
is,
you know.
It is literally
it's
the most
infuriating,
awful
isn't
thing
it?
I've ever
I volunteer
seen.
As tribute, guys. I'll go and see this one.
I'm going to see it too. Oh, wait, no. Guardian, this is a TV,
this a TV
show,
TV
right?
Show.
Yeah.
It is a TV show.
Wait, what?
Is it, no, is it a TV show or a movie?
Samurai
I think it's a TV show. Norris, you've got it pulled up. Is it a TV show
it's
or a movie?
It's a TV show.
It is?
Oh, never mind.
What's it on? Do you know?
I don't know.
Does it say?
Netflix.
Ah, there we go.
And Netflix got billions to throw away.
They well, just they say, just started.
Fuck, here you go. Somebody says, let's reboot. Fuck it. I just feel like Netflix is just ran by a room full of, like, really drunk people who have a lot of money. And, like, a new guy in a suit just goes in and pitches ideas. And they just go, fuck it.
When they canceled Sense8, which is a great show, in that interview, I think it was the president of Netflix, is like, look, I think that we should be making more shows and trying crazier stuff and also be canceling things at a faster rate as well.
That's right, Robbie. I want you to watch Reboot the Guardian Code and think that they canceled Sense8 for it the entire time.
Yeah. Yep. Murder someone.
Yep. Well, I mean, or you could watch Death Note. That's also...
Yeah,
they canceled Sense8 for Death
for
Note.
Death Note
for Death Note. Yeah,
Full Metal Alchemist.
Full Metal Alchemist.
There you go. There
I turned
go.
That on just to torture
or,
someone. And
or,
it tortured me.
You could go ahead and watch the reboot of Richie Rich. That's
a thing.
It is a thing, and it's like the Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. Do you guys remember that show? It's as cringeworthy as that.
That show basically was Richie Rich.
That was,
it kind of
yeah.
was. Yeah. Now they've just kind of simplified it, streamlined it, called it Richie Rich, and said fuck it and put it on Netflix.
It was like that show was
terrible.
Like Richie Rich meets Dennis the Menace.
Yeah.
On kinda. A boat. Yeah. No, wait, no, that was that
except, boat. Except really pervy. Like they
yeah.
make, they make used
no,
to make
they were
like
in a
really
hotel, the Sweet Life of
yeah.
Zack.
They used to make a lot of really homophobic jokes too.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. This podcast
we
is kinda,
went full circle from Tie Move to the Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Thank
there
you for letting
go.
Me grind my axes.
You're welcome. Want to tell us what grinds your gears next?
You know, what grinds my gears?
Anyway, all right, thanks so much for joining us for the Checkpoint Radio podcast. CheckpointRadio.com is where you can find out more information about the show, as well as full episodes on demand posted every Tuesday, interviews from past episodes, and much, much more. That's all over at CheckpointRadio.com. Stay up to date on all the latest by following us on social media. That's CheckPT Radio on Facebook and Twitter, as well as Instagram. And if you like the show, consider dropping by our Apple Podcast feed and giving us a rating and a review. Come on, let's get to 60. Checkpoint Radio is a production of Westwood One. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Big thanks to our producers, Rick Scott, Kevin Graham, and Christine Corpus. For the Checkpoint Radio crew, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan, I'm Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to the Checkpoint Radio podcast. Make sure you subscribe to iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, tune into our weekly radio show. For more information and the latest on esports and gaming, go to CheckpointRadio.com.